town. Tell me when that breeze is blowing, taking me home to my town.
Here we are standing at the corner of Maine and Sutherland. I've been doing the work and really excited about how Winnipeg can be, but for me it's very frustrated that City Hall and beyond, I think, just doesn't understand that we need to do things differently and that we have options and we should use them.
This is Turning Point, Episode 5. I'm 680 CJOB's Richard Kluche with candidate for mayor Sean Loney.
You go to hockey games, you go to football games, you might even end up at baseball game, you might end up at Folklorama. You're doing a lot of those events.
Just please don't make me dance in public. I think my kids would disown me.
That's happened before?
While they were younger, but I think my dancing days are over.
We both went to the University of Manitoba at different times. We had some of the same professors in economics. Loney has roots working for former Premier Greg Selinger on energy and climate. I met him 13 years ago doing a profile on a program to get vulnerable Indigenous youth out of underemployment and crime.
Asbestos removal people.
Carson is getting a chance to earn money and gain valuable experience towards becoming an apprentice.
You put in the stop so the airflow doesn't go through the insulation.
He works for Build, Building Urban Industries for local development.
So I got put in these stops because there's vents on the outsides of all the
We believe that the way out of poverty and violence is through a supportive working environment. We get funding from the provincial government, Manitoba Hydro. Manitoba Housing has been very good to us as well. You know, the guys come in the morning, and we have funding for 6 months at a time, and they demonstrate that they're ready to roll at that point in time. We get them into further education and into the workforce or into the apprenticeship system. It's transforming, right? It's a little different angle than the charity, but I see an awful lot of people who are ready to move on and ready to make something of their lives, and it's an awfully inspiring bunch.
Carson, you got your green hard helmet with you. You're off the job right now just to spend a few minutes with us today. How long were you in a gang?
A year, a couple of years. Joined it pretty young.
Were there brothers or sisters that were involved in the gang? How did you get involved in it?
My uncles, my brothers, they're all mixed up in it, each and every one of them.
So it's really tough to get out.
Not that hard to get in either.
Carson's made some huge steps already. I mean, more barrier removal than I'll ever be able to come over in my life. So it's just a progression. And I mean, at the end of the 6 months, we don't just open the door and let them walk out. There's something there waiting for
Loney
them.
Went on to build Carson, other social enterprises and says our collective inability to move the needle on some key chronic issues such as homelessness has motivated him to step up.
Winnipeggers need to understand almost half of our operating budget at the city is now spent on emergency services. And that's why our libraries are struggling. You know, we don't have as much money for roads and recreation. So we have to get a hold of our emergency services budget. And cutting the police or adding more police, changing the composition of the police board, changing the police chief, talking about the number of helicopters in the air. What the real question is being able to understand that people who are committing offenses or in contact with police, they're doing so over and over and over and over again, and they're going to continue to do it until they get access to the interventions that work. And I know what those interventions are, and I know how to move the money to reward nonprofits who are getting the job done. And so part of what we're saying is, for some people, the solution is a job. And I've co-founded Build and other social enterprises, and talk to the people that have gone through Build, they'll tell you, look, it wasn't the helicopter that stopped me, it was a job. And the accountability that went along with that. For others, the solution is supportive housing. And guess what? Providing supportive housing, I think Winnipeggers know, is cheaper than what we're doing now, which is just responding to people over and over again.
Winnipeg spends 27 cents of every tax dollar on police, most of that salaries. And Loney believes he can reduce the need through programming, putting more resources into the community to prevent crime.
The police, they're about law enforcement, and they're not connected to the solutions that can help them reduce their workload. And we want to set up an option for them to say, oh, the nonprofit sector can offer us better public safety outcomes at a reduced price. We're going to choose that option. But right now, they don't have that option. And I want to give them that additional public safety option. I'm not going to ask them to fund supportive housing, but I will say you need to pay for the impact that supportive housing has on your system. And when I made my homelessness announcement, standing next to me was a guy named Gord Friesen, who, 35-year police officer, the last 8 years, I think, he was on the executive of the Winnipeg Police Service, and he says, this is a game changer. This is what Winnipeg needs, and Winnipeg needs it now.
So how would that operate? Explain that for us.
Very simple, three-step process. We, for the very first time, asked the police to name the people that they're in constant contact with. No one's done that before. Number two, say to the police, tell us how much, what's the value in staff time that you're using to respond to that group? No one has done that before. And number three, negotiate agreements with nonprofits and agree to pay them as the nonprofits are reducing their workload. No one has done that before. And to me, that's just common sense. It's different, yes. But it is the path forward, and this strategy has been endorsed by business leaders here in Manitoba, by national nonprofits working in the homelessness sector, and we have a chance to move forward.
So are you talking about cutting the police?
The city has added almost 1,000 new positions since 1999. 87% of them have gone to emergency services. So I'm not talking about cutting the police or adding the police. I'm talking about reducing the workload and avoiding these future increases and getting the city moving in a much better direction.
The time is
Turning
now.
Point on
this
680 CJOB moment. With candidate for Mayor Sean Loney.
Let's get down to it and let's get our city back. Thank you very much. Come on, let's go.
His coalition of supporters are some people you probably would have found at a Glenn Murray rally when he first ran for mayor. And sometimes he comes across as having all the answers, a bit smug. And while his ideas appeal to many who want to help solve homelessness, housing, crime, what would Loney do to help grow the city and deal with issues of growth?
You're not going to raise our taxes, or are you going to raise our taxes, Mr. Loney?
Well, I'm prepared to recommend to council a 3.7% increase with no increase in the frontage fee.
This is where he takes shots at Murray for not costing out his promises, and Scott Gillingham for proposing to raise your property and frontage fees to pay for growth and expanding Chief Peguis Trail in the north and west side of the city, and expanding Keniston Boulevard to three lanes. Loney says spend the money fixing existing infrastructure and accelerate the expansion of our transit system.
The money is going to go towards big projects that aren't going to address congestion. And we have a plan to reduce congestion on places like Keniston. And it's just common sense and more.
What is that common sense? I've heard common sense from so many politicians, and it's not common sense. It's convoluted. So take the time to explain that.
Okay, well, first of all, we're going to look at the synchronizing the lights much better. We need to put money into having intersections make much more sense. I want to see a tow truck sitting close by so that if there's a stall or a flat, that gets removed immediately. I mean, this is what they do in big cities. And I want to get landowners along Keniston together and say, what other innovations? And the biggest landowner, Richard, is Canada Lands. It's the government of Canada. They've already indicated that spending $500 million on expanding Keniston is not going to get them the kind of Keniston that they want. I want to see the Keniston Greenway. Let's make it something that is really visibly a great commuting option rather than what we have now, which is a sea of concrete and people sitting in their cars for
and I get what you're saying, but what I'm hearing here is that that's not solving the commute from Sage Creek all the way to St. James. That's not making my ride any easier. You're going to synchronize things maybe a little bit better.
Well, we'll put money into the intersections, and I guess I would challenge Councillor Gillingham to say, why does he think that he can get federal money to double down on car culture? They've already rejected a proposal for cost sharing from the city twice. What I'm talking about, the Keniston Greenway, leaning into an awesome big city, fast-moving transit system with sensible improvements is something that the Government of Canada can get into and join us in cost share.
So you would accelerate that 25-year plan where we're looking at, you know, various lines in the city of Winnipeg?
Absolutely.
And how much would you accelerate that to, and at what point can those folks in Sage Creek then say, you know what, there'll be enough people taking the bus rapid transit that then it still makes sense to keep Bishop and Keniston at two lanes?
We said that we can implement the transit master strategy in 10 years, but there's a couple tweaks which we want to make to it. And one is to look at transit on demand. Other cities our size are doing this. So one touch on your phone and a wheelchair accessible van comes to a virtual bus stop near your house, picks you up and takes you either to a regional location or to the rapid transit station. So you have vans being very flexible and responsive, doing what they do well, and these electric made in Manitoba buses doing what they do well, and combine the two. And we're seeing in state, in jurisdictions around North America, that people are saying, oh gee, I don't need that second car or third car, and it's faster and easier for me to take this metro mobility. And that's what the kind of system that we want. And I've also said, before we make major changes, transit is really the primary thing we've got to get our heads around and make quick improvements in that. And I'm looking forward to sitting in the mayor's chair and driving that conversation.
Loney's approach is aggressive. It has earned him the respect of his opponents. And whether or not he wins on October 26th, we have not heard the last of Sean Loney in politics.
I made an announcement at Selkirk and Powers in a neighborhood where I've spent a lot of time. The 24 Indigenous leaders, community leaders behind me, we announced our Reconciliation Action Plan. And I can sum it up very succinctly to say the secret to it is that the solutions must be valued. And so if a nonprofit is doing an awesome job at reducing the number of times that police have to go out, then the police need to modernize how they do business so that that nonprofit's work is recognized. I want to bring an Indigenous art hotel to downtown Winnipeg, so you have Indigenous artists living there, providing artwork for tourists that will want to go to that hotel because it's such a different experience than just a boring old hotel. That's the kind of example of things that I want to lean into in the city. I've announced a tree trust, a completely new way of looking at trees. Richard, there's 30 organizations in Winnipeg that are battling trying to maintain their canopy. And so to me, we got to do things differently. In this tree trust, there's one in Minneapolis and Cleveland, and we'll protect the canopy, but here's what else. We're going to set a bunch of the jobs aside for women who are currently interacting with the city's women's centers. And so it can double as an MMIW strategy, as an anti-poverty strategy. And how amazing Winnipeg can be if we can start to connect some of these dots.
For Turning Point, I'm Richard Kluche.
We're going for a beer, a glass of wine, a cup of coffee, a cup of tea together. What are we doing and where are we going if we do that?
We're going to go to a locally owned pub, a local brewery, with local music in the background.
So is it a light beer? Is it a darker beer?
It would what be is it? A local is what's important to me. I don't care much if it's light or dark, but the local is really important. And there's lots of young people around. people who celebrate diversity and who just say, you know what? Winnipeg is one awesome city.
And are we talking economics here? What are we talking about? Because I can talk to you about, you know, economic theory if you want, or we can talk about, you know, jets or bombers or music. What are we talking about?
You know, Richard, we just met this gal, you and I, here. And
Tracy.
Yeah, and she lives on the street. We're going to talk about a city where we see potential in each other. She stopped and talked to me because she saw potential in me. And I saw potential in her. And that's the kind of city that I want to lead. And that's the kind of city that I want to live in.